Welcome to church. My name is Tina Jones, and with me today are our musicians Rosemary, Young Lan, Linda, and our Bible readers Stuart and Manette. And reading prayers is Karen, and bringing us today's Bible teaching later in the service is Trevor. Please follow along in your order of service, or simply listen in and join in with the Amen. God's word calls us to make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Give him praise, glorious praise. And this is from Psalm 66. So let's begin by just doing that, giving God praise and thanks and delight to be in his presence during this service. Please join me, stand and join me and our wonderful musicians to sing this song, 10,000 Reasons.
Oh, my soul.
We have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Let us pray together before our word is brought to us. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first Bible reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
Our second reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Let us affirm our faith together in the words taken from Colossians. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things he have been created through him, for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. In Psalm 145, we read, "You, Lord, are near to all who call to you, who call to you with sincerity. You supply the needs of all who fear you. You hear their cry and save them." Please join me as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, the unfailing helper and guide of those whom you bring up in your steadfast fear and love, keep us, we pray, under the protection of your good providence, and give us a continual reverence and love for your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God Almighty, you are matchless in glory, honour, majesty and power. You established the earth and all that is in it. You established your plan and are fulfilling every detail. In your power, you are coming again and will gather your people together, people from every nation, tribe and tongue. And we celebrate the victory you gave through Jesus Christ, for salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. God of mercy, we bring before you our world, a beautiful world created by your word and corrupted by our clamoring for control. A world that is presently enduring a global pandemic and the resultant economic hardships, combined with widespread and deep-rooted racial inequality and international relations straining under the weight of it all. The world seems so far removed from all that it could be, and so we ask that you will look upon your world and your people with mercy. We pray for the global crisis of COVID-19 that continues at a concerning pace, especially in countries like the United States, India, Russia, Brazil, and Indonesia. Please give wisdom to all those in positions of authority as they make decisions for the well-being of their nations, balancing the necessities of both the economic and health requirements of their people. We ask that you might enable all those working on a vaccine to advance their understanding of this virus and produce an effective treatment for it. Until then, we pray for all those who have and are suffering because of this illness, those who have contracted it, and those who have lost loved ones to it. We thank you for the effectiveness of the governments of Australia and the community's response to the situation here, especially as we now enjoy the relief that has come with increased mobility and contact in our society in these recent weeks. God of justice, we raise our voice to you this morning as voices cry out across our world for equality and justice for those people who, for centuries, by the nature of their race, have suffered deeply. May their hurt be heard, but also may real action be taken to right the wrongs of the past. We pray that as opportunities arise, you will embolden your people at this time to speak of the one who suffered the ultimate injustice, the one who endured the weight on his back for our sin, pressing in hard, resulting in his death. May true hope and justice be found in the light and life of the risen Lord Jesus. God of hope, we look forward to the gathering of our church community here at Abbotsford on the 5th of July. Please give us patience as we wait for this time to arrive, and also flexibility, grace, and servant hearts as we work together to make this possible and to comply with all the diocesan and government regulations. We pray for Trevor and the wardens and parish council as they lead us through this time of change. And we ask that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you will strengthen, sustain, and equip us for this next phase in our church life, so that in all ways we might bring glory to your name. God of life, we bring before you members of our church family in particular need of your love and care at this time. We mourn the death this week of our dear sister in Christ, Ruth Moss. Thank you for the many years of faithful friendship and service that both Ruth and Jeffrey brought to our church family. We ask that you will bring comfort to her friends and family at this sad and difficult time. And yet, we rejoice together in the sure knowledge of the life that awaits Ruth in the presence of her Saviour, Jesus Christ. We also ask for your healing hand upon David Michaelis and for Lynn Clark. Please strengthen and sustain them during their recoveries after surgery and provide the medical guidance and treatments they need for a full recovery. We ask also that you will uphold their families, for Chris as she cares for David, and for Graham as he cares for Lynn. God of grace, we ask that the truth of your holy word will take deep root in our hearts. May it shape and fashion us in your likeness, so that in our acts of love and our deeds of faith, the light of our Lord Jesus Christ will be seen. We ask that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you will empower us to live lives of full obedience in holy reverence and true humility. Lord, fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before Trevor brings us his word and what he has to teach us from God's word, we're singing a beautiful, beautiful song which calls us, which we are called to ask for God to speak to us. It's an appropriate song to sing before the sermon because it humbles us into realising that we are being taught by God himself when we listen to his word. So may our spirits join in this song all together. And it's so appropriate that we perhaps even sing this in a prayer-like manner. The song is called Speak, O Lord. Please stand and sing with us.
Deep.
To hear from Trevor and teaching faith and more about God and why fear.
Well, good morning and welcome to church this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. You can find it also in your order of service that you were emailed or on the website that's there. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. The sermon title is Our King is King over All Creation. Why fear? And of course, that King is Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you speak to us through your word, the Bible. We thank you that you've given to us your Holy Spirit, and he guides us into truth as we hear your word read and preached. Please guide us, Holy Spirit, into truth of your word. Help me to teach your word correctly. And may we experience you, Holy Spirit, guiding us into truth and applying it to our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the officers and their partners had just sat down for their first dining-in night for the year, a function to welcome the newly posted-in families to the unit. The usual practice on this first social occasion was to separate partners and to sit them next to others they didn't know. No sooner had they sat down, before conversation could begin and the entree served, the gavel banged three times and silence fell over the room as the new commanding officer stood to give his welcome speech. 15 minutes later, as the commander finished and sat down, a young lieutenant turned to the woman next to him and said, "Glad that's over." Then whispering, "Worst welcome speech ever." "Do you know who I am?" said the woman. "No," said the young lieutenant. "I'm the commander's wife." Embarrassed and wishing the floor would swallow him up, he asked the woman, "Madam, do you know who I am?" "No," said the commander's wife. "Good," said the lieutenant. I do hope it stays that way. Turn with me in your Bibles, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. You'll see there it's the story of Jesus calming the storm, and it's a familiar one. But why is it there in our Bibles? It's there, I take it, that we might think on Jesus' question of us. Do you know who I am? If you look there at verse 35, it's late in the afternoon and the night was approaching. Jesus had said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side being the other side of Lake Galilee, I gather so as to reach there before dark. Back in verse 1 of chapter 4, if you turn back a page, you will read that Jesus had been teaching the crowds by the lake. The crowd had gathered around him. It was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, and he taught them many things by parables. Mark 4 verses 1 and 2. Parables were stories, short stories usually, about the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the authority of God, and of the king of God's kingdom, who rules with all God's authority. Jesus had been teaching of the one who ruled with all God's authority. And now it was the end of the day, and it was time to leave the crowd behind. Verses 36 to 38, and we read the disciples took Jesus, just as he was, in the boat towards the other side. There were other boats there with him. And as they journeyed across the lake, a furious squall or storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus, we're told, was in the stern, the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. How Jesus didn't wake up when the storm broke, I don't know. reminds me, a number of years ago, I took a group of 15 men out from Belmore Anglican Church deep sea fishing. The night before, I watched on the news the Manly Ferry crashing through the waves between the heads. I thought, this does not look good for our fishing trip tomorrow. I think I best ring the captain of the boat. I rang him up and he reassured me, all will be fine, young man, all will be fine. All was not fine. Before we'd even reached the heads of Botany Bay, only 5 of us were standing. The other 10 of us were rolling on the deck, those standing green and heaving over the sides. No sooner had we got through the heads, I had to ask that we turn back, please turn back. And we turned back, but mind you, we did no fishing that day and no one slept. How anyone could sleep through something like that, I have no idea. However, Jesus had fallen asleep. And I assume, having fallen asleep, that it was some time in the journey across the lake when the storm broke. But when it did break, it must have broken quickly and so furiously that the disciples, some of which were experienced fishermen and seasoned travellers of the sea, needed all hands on deck. And in desperation, I gather, and some frustration that Jesus had not woken up and was contributing to the efforts to save himself and them, they wake him and cry, verse 38, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we perish, if we die? Don't you care? I gather there have been times in our lives when we've doubted if Jesus cares. You may be feeling that way today. Life situations have become tough. Depression has set in, as has despair. Maybe a loved one has died. You've lost a job. People have trusted that you've trusted have let you down. You don't feel loved. You feel forgotten. Or things just aren't the way you'd like them to be. Those times feel worse when we lose sight of who Jesus is. When we forget who he is and what he is able to do. But it always amazes me that when life is like that, whether we realize it or not, whether in desperation or frustration, we instinctively, like the disciples in the boat, go to the one who can help us the best and ask, "Why, God? Don't you care?" Despite how we feel, or whatever we might conclude about God, God doesn't change. We remind ourselves of that each time we partake of the Lord's Supper. In our Anglican liturgy, we say, "You are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy." What we're saying is that you do not change, God. Your nature is always, always to have mercy. So we are reassured that despite how we might feel, what we think about God because of the circumstances we might be going through, God hears our prayers and answers them in a way that brings glory to him and has our best interests at heart. The disciples speak to Jesus. They cry for mercy. It may not seem like a prayer, but they pray, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And the one who does not change, but whose nature is always to have mercy, heard their cry, heard their prayer, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was calm. Does that remind you of some other time? Of a time when things came to be in the beginning? A time you've read and remember at the beginning of your Bibles in Genesis, in our first reading this morning. I think we're meant to think back to there, to what we've been told in the beginning of Genesis, to the beginning of time, of creation, when God, by a word, brought the universe into being. You remember you would have heard, read, "The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, 'Let there be,' and there was." Out of chaos, God created cosmos, order. And here we read now, after teaching in parables of the King of God's kingdom, the one with all God's authority, Jesus revealing to his disciples in a most dramatic way who that one is, who that King with all God's authority is. It is him, Jesus. What's remarkable is what occurs next and recorded. It's really interesting, isn't it? Look with me there at verses 40 and 41, the way Mark records what happens next. He, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Look first there at verse 40. It's calm. They are safe. There is nothing now to fear. They will not perish. They will not die. Jesus has shown them that he cares. But Jesus' question is recorded in the present, after the event. It reads, "Why are you afraid now?" In the calm, when they're safe, when there is no need for fear, no prospect of perishing, no likelihood of death, and Jesus has shown them in a most dramatic of ways that he does care, why are you afraid when there's nothing to be afeared? Jesus is not addressing their fear during the storm, but their fear now, after the storm is over, as they looked with amazement at the one in their midst who by a word, nature, obeyed him. "Who is this man," they ask, "that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Can you hear who this man is? He is God's king over God's kingdom. He is the one who rules over all with all God's authority. He is the king of the parables of the kingdom. And Jesus asked the disciples, there looking in amazement at him, "Do you still have no faith? Do you still not know who I am? Do you still not believe who I am?" The story of Jesus calming the storm, yes, is a familiar one. I take it that this event occurred and was recorded in our Bibles that we might think on Jesus' question too. Do you know who I am? Do you have faith? Do you believe who I am? "Surely so," we reply. And let us remember who he is. He is our king. He is your king. He is my king. He is our king, King Jesus, king over all creation. Why fear? Trust him for who he is and what he has done. This is faith. Our faith proves we know who Jesus is. For the Son of Man, God's King over God's kingdom, he who is the one who rules over all with all God's authority, who does not change, who cares, who hears and answers prayer, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for you and for me as a ransom for many. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we think on the cross of your King who died upon it and who rose again and in whose careful hands are all your children, knowing who he is, grant us the faith that commits all to you without question and without reserve. That trusting ourselves wholly to your love and wisdom, we may meet all that life may bring, even death itself at last, with calm and courage. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen.
For our last song together, we're going to sing about our great God and how he always sustains us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He knows our fears. He knows his creatures well. So let's sing this song, O Great God.
As mentioned already, there are only a couple of more weeks to go before we'll be meeting together in person, face to face, for real. Thank you for those who've already contacted Janice to let her know if you're attending or not on the 5th of July. If you haven't done so already, please do so today. It's very important for us to know, as we need to know the numbers. Please, Janice's email and phone details are on the back of the news and notes. If you have any questions or concerns about coming to church, please give Trevor a call from Monday when he'll be back from holidays. Next Sunday's service will be recorded as normal and available on the website, and Kids Church will be via Zoom on Sundays at 9:30. Next Sunday is also our Lord's Supper, so if you want to have a a bit of bread and some wine or grape juice ready for next week. That would be a good idea. Monday the 6th of July, 7 to 8 p.m. in the church foyer, we have our prayer and praise evening from 7 till 8. So hopefully you'll be able to make it to that. And please continue your giving as you have been doing. That would be fantastic. And for those of you who haven't heard or weren't aware, we've been told that Ruth Moss's funeral will be held in the East Chapel of Rookwood Gardens Crematorium next Wednesday, June 24th at 10:15. And thank goodness the limit on people who can attend is now 50. So although we may not all fit, I think if we're outside and socially distancing, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
As we finish our service today, I think we have a lot to be thankful for, much to praise God for. So let me pray. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.